This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's January 1st, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I am Scott Long.
You know, all I wanted for Christmas was that you would come back from your trip with one of those long, very non-poker-related stories so that I could go back to sleep after staying up till 3:36 in the morning playing an Apes Free Roll that I got nothing for. So go ahead, Scott. Go ahead. Have your story. Please make my Christmas wish come true.
Well, I know how much you don't like non-poker content on our show, despite overwhelming evidence from our listeners otherwise. But out of respect for you, I have consolidated a series of stories into a quick rant with apologies to the great Jeff Foxworthy. All right, very quickly, here's the thing. We just flew back from Chicago. I did a trip down to Fort Lauderdale. I'm flying out to Vegas tonight for New Year's Eve. Come back. I got a day that I'm flying to Biloxi, so I am up to here with flyers, Chris. So here we go. I'll keep it quick because I know you don't need that much sleep.
Okay, go ahead.
Now you're psyching me out here, man. You're awake. You're supposed to be sleeping.
I'm dozing in and out. If something interesting comes up, I'll wake up for it.
All right. If on the plane you put your carry-on under somebody else's seat, you might be a Deutsche Bank.
And you know what? Every flight we've taken together, that has happened. I can't put my feet out. Somebody always has some stupid pocketbook or knapsack or something, and I hate that.
See, now, if you're going to comment, this is going to take a lot longer, buddy.
Oh, all right. I'm quiet. Go ahead.
If you buy your granddaughter squeaky shoes and let her run around the airport like it's a personal home, you might be at Deutsche Bank.
Man, we were both trying to sleep at Chicago Airport, and this little girl running around, dirt. Oh, it's precious. No, it's not.
And if you tell your daughter that the granddaughter has to walk off the energy before the airport and you do not take off the squeaky shoes, you might be a Deutsche Bank. If you bring a carry-on the size of a beluga whale onto an airplane, you might be a Deutsche Bank. If you try to cram it in the overhead bin and keep pushing and pushing like you're going to trigger a magical trap door in the back of the overhead bin so that thing will actually fit in the carry-on bin, you might be at Deutsche Bank. If you do all this by blocking the aisle and preventing your fellow passengers from getting to a seat with their normal size carry-on bags, you might be at Deutsche Bank. If on a plane with only 30 passengers, Chris, you decide to sit in a row with another passenger, wow! Carrying an oversized carry-on bag and blocking the aisle, you might be a Deutsche Bank.
While wearing squeaky shoes.
And if at 10,000 feet on a flight with 30 passengers, when you sit in front of another passenger, after this big carry-on and blocking the aisle and doing everything else in the world that's rude, you lean your seat back, You most definitely, certainly are the biggest Deutsche Bank in the world. And I'm speaking to you, you woman with the big floppy hat and the stupid Us magazine who cares about nothing else in the world except for you. I'm talking to you.
Oh, man, there goes a third of our audience right there, man.
Cannot believe this woman. Cannot believe
man.
This.
What a trip.
Yeah, so I'm hoping for happy trails tonight.
It ain't going to happen.
But I know where we can guarantee there's going to be happy trails, Chris. And that is on the Ante Up Poker Cruise, March 25th to 29th. And before you guys skip, because I know you guys are tired of hearing us talk about the cruise, we've got good news today.
Okay. We went to the cruise and...
Yeah, we inspected the ship yesterday and did all of our measurements and had all of our little conversations on there. And I got to say, I am even more excited than I have been before.
Yeah, you wanted to, like, get the tables right there and then and start playing. I'm like, dude, it's March. Relax.
But we got there's three conference rooms on the ship. We got them all. We can take the walls out. We can do all kinds of crazy stuff. So there's going to be plenty of room for poker. Great little room for TJ Cloutier's awesome course. We got, like, the room is huge. It's nice. It's designed. It's got good lighting. It's got audio-visual equipment, so we can turn TVs on so people can watch, rugby or cricket or whatever you watch when you're on a cruise ship. You know, maybe we'll be able to do the tournament clocks on there and maybe even the wait list. So I'm excited. It's going to be, for those folks that went on the last poker cruise, this room is probably, what would you say, Chris, probably 700 to 800% better than the last room?
Yeah, at least. And it's much bigger, and it's just much more inviting, and it makes more sense. And they actually have air conditioning controls for each of the three rooms. So, you know, we'll be able to open the walls up and make it as cool as we want. And so we're pretty excited, you know. And, you know, as we always do when we go on these things, we always pass through the casino.
Right.
And we always check it out and look for the poker table, see if they have them or whatever. And they didn't even have a poker table out, so we're assuming that they do something with a table where they put a top on it and deal it or something. But, you know, we go by the little pamphlet station, and I had to pick up the Casino Royale Texas Hold'em poker pamphlet.
Right.
And, of course, it has a little header on it that says, Useful Poker Terms. And it goes through all of check and call and raise and bet. And then at the very end, it says, Rake. And it says, Casino Royale will take a 10% commission of all pots up to $5 on the 1, 2, 2, 4, and 3, 6 games. Hey, I'm like, hey, that's pretty good. They might, have some competition with us, you know. And then it says $10 on all 5-10 games and up to $15 on the higher stake and no limit games. Okay, so everyone's going to play no limit. And they're going to rake at least $15 out of your pot when you're playing. Yeah, I think that's Chuck went up for the Ante Up Poker Room on that day.
Oh, but no flop, no drop rule there, though. You got to like that.
Yeah, you got to like that. That's just that's incredible. But I'm not too worried about what they're going to be dealing on their boat.
Yep. All the action's going to be on the Ante Up Poker Room. And we met some great guys on there that are going to be from the ship that are going to be on there. And they're going to really help us out and help our players out, I think. So it's going to be a phenomenal trip. And if you have not booked yet, give the lovely Mary Kolb a call at 727-733-3498. She's getting ready to jet off to Australia. So give her a call before January 9th, or you're going to have to wait till February 6th to get on the ship. So do that now.
Speaking of months with the word six in it, in January 6th, we are going to be at Derby Lane Poker Room in St. Pete, putting on a nice little course for our local players who've never really played in a poker room before. So come one, come all. Come on out. See us fumble it and bumble it and try to have fun with it.
6 to 8 p.m., and the best part of it will be I will have flown in from Vegas the night before and will be flying out to Biloxi the day after, so I will be in some kind of weird altered state, I imagine.
And be sure to tune into that week's show because we have no idea when we're doing it or how we're doing it or what it's going to be about. So that should be a real interesting week. Maybe I'll just put together a bunch of clips from other shows and no one will ever know. I have no idea. But make sure you tune in that week because Scott's going to be even more Deutsche Bankish.
Well, maybe we can make next week's show about the Apes free roll last night and just edit it down to a manageable time.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you... I don't know what to do. You know, I'm like, there are times where I think you're sheer brilliant, and I think last night was one of them. Because I'm looking around and I'm playing this thing and I'm trying to give my money away, and like I keep winning pots. Like I keep like four betting things with like 8-7 or something and getting there, and I'm trying to go to sleep, but I don't want to just quit, you know. And I turn around and I said, "Oh, look, I wonder where Scott's stack has steadily gone down over the last hour." And then I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute. He quit playing at like 9 o'clock. It was like 9:05. He had won a big pot and left." I'm like, "Man, he's a genius."
Oh, well, here's the thing. I was playing really well, and I was looking forward to it. We had, I don't know, what, something like 14,000 people playing.
Yeah.
And I was playing well. I was making good reads and doing good stuff. And then I was just all of a sudden onset tiredness hit over me. And I'm like, "Man, I got a lot of work to do tomorrow, too. This thing is going to go on all night. You know what? I hate to do this. I'm just going to give up."
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I typed in, "Yeah, Scott has a long day tomorrow." Because they kept saying, "What happened to Scott? Where's Scott?" And I said, "Scott's got a long day tomorrow." And I kept waiting for somebody to say, "Oh, that's a pun," you know, but no one would say it. And then finally around 2 a.m., someone finally said it. They're probably like, hey, you made a pun." And I'm like, "Thank you." It only took from 9 to 2 a.m. for somebody to say it to me, you know. You know, here's the thing, Scott. As I said before, I actually stopped playing at 3:36 a.m.
Oh, my God.
I was just too tired.
But you finished 50th, though. There were like 1,400 people, right?
Yeah, it was like 920 something. So my goal was to finish in the top 90.
Right, yeah, because that would have been the true cash.
That would have been a real casher, you know. And even though you had a bunch of people sitting out, so it's not a real field, I still felt like even if we had those people playing, I would have cashed had it been that. But, you know, I remember I was saying earlier that I was trying to give my chips away, and there was one hand where I had Jack 9 offsuit, right? And it gets, like, I'm on the button, and it gets to me, and somebody had raised, and I made it, like, two bets more, whatever I did. It was hold'em, obviously. And it gets capped, and I'm calling, because I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get rid of my chips here. I'm trying to do whatever I can. The flop comes with, like, an 8 in it. It was, like, 8-2-5, right? So I'm like, they're like, "Bet, call, I'm raising." We cap it, right? The turn is a 10.
Oh, no.
Right? So it's like bet, raise, call, raise. It gets capped three-way, right? The river is a queen. And I make the absolute nuts. It's like, I can't make a better hand than this. I have straight to the queen. It goes bet, cat, raise, I raise. It gets capped again. We all turn over Jack 9.
Oh, my God.
All three of us had Jack 9, and they were all Jack 9 offsuit, and it got capped on every street on an 8-high flop. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, man. So that was like the hand of the night, and three times in a night, three tens came on the flop at my table.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, my God.
No one had ace 10.
No, someone did have ace 10.
Oh, did they?
On one hand, someone had ace 10, and another one, a guy had pocket kings, and then the turn was a king. So the guy and the river was a king. So the guy had quads, and the other guy thought he had like a full house, you know, so he called the bet, and he had quads. It was hilarious. I mean, it was just, I flopped quads in Omaha and bet it out, and guys bet and called me all the way down. And of course, I split the pot to a wheel. But I flopped quad deuces, and still someone made a wheel, and oh, man. But it was brutal. I mean, Gambit was around, and I got knocked out because I just couldn't take it anymore. He was still playing. He was like in sixth, so I'm not even sure if he made a seat, but I think he might have gotten a seat. A lot of the guys, you know, like Burns My Toast, those guys were all in the leaders too, so hopefully they did well. I couldn't take it anymore. 3:36 a.m., man. I had to go to sleep.
Yeah, I would hope after 7 or 8 hours that you'd walk away with a $20 ticket
to
the main event, which is January 13th, and I promise I will have plenty of sleep that night because I will not be giving up on that because that will be serious money.
Sure.
So turn it out there and go to our website, antiupmagazine.com/apes, A-I-P-S, even though I know people keep saying, let's not quit spelling it.
Hey, you know, last A-I-P-S. Night during the tournament, too, I embraced my inner ass and was really giving the Brazilians a bunch of crap last night. I mean, yeah. I was like, "You're a thieving poacher. You don't even know what ante up is." And I mean, I was going off on this guy. And then another guy, this one guy kept sucking out on me all night, and he was from Brazil. And I was like, dude, you can suck my ass out, you know? I mean, and then he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, oh, don't even pretend you speak English, you know? We were going back and forth, and everybody from the nation was, you know, chiming in the chat, yeah, go get him, Chris, go get him. I was so mad at some of these guys just poaching our money, you know? So we definitely have to have that fixed for next year because it's just getting too frustrating.
Yes, absolutely.
We got to move on, but I know there's some pretty interesting stuff on the NEP news desk, so I'll let you start off with that.
South Carolina Attorney General Henry McMaster has appealed last fall's decision by a judge to overturn the convictions of poker players after it was determined that poker is a game of skill, the Post and Courier of Charleston reports. McMaster says state law makes no distinction on whether gaming is skill or chance.
Just let it go, man. God! You know, speaking of letting it go, apparently Phil Ivey and his wife are getting divorced after 7 years, and I guess it was first reported on TMZ.
An exclusive from TMZ!
Oh my
they call
God.
It the Tiger Woods of poker. You know, they get their extra hits up.
Yeah, I know. TMZ, 30-mile zone. I tell you, it's pretty you know, slow news day on TMZ when Phil Ivey's divorce makes it, you know? Unreal.
And then finally, Trekkie Ted Moustakis. And I got to pause to say, I love this name for poker. Moustakis. Trekkie Ted Moustakis has sued Auction House Christie's, saying the three Star Trek poker-related memorabilia pieces he bought for $23,600, Chris.
Yeah.
A few years ago were misrepresented by Christie's. Moustakis says the items were replicas, but a panel of judges threw the suit out.
What? If are they replicas? I mean, geez, if they're replicas, how can you throw the suit out?
I think there was like some kind of without merit, all that, you know, all those big legal terms and
yeah,
stuff.
But
apparently there's some his favorite character had was using this poker stuff on the show. I never watched the trick, so yeah. I don't really know all this. But the guy, you know, he paid a pretty penny for this stuff, and then the actual actor dude, I guess, hey, you know. That's not what I actually use on the show. They made a bunch of those.
Well, I know that Jean-Luc Picard just got his knighthood the other day. I know that's about the extent of my Trekkie knowledge. But maybe he's going to sue them for misrepresentation of the queen or, I don't know, or something, and he's not really a knight, so we can't call him Sir Jean-Luc or I don't know. But one thing I do know is we got a very cool hotline clip this week. Our hotline number is 813-448-1120. Call that number, and we use your little audio clip, and we'll send you something really nice. So this one comes from our good friend and Annie Up columnist, John Lanier.
I was listening to the Chicago podcast today while getting radiation treatments, and everything was going fine until you got to the part about box on wheels jumping like Peter Cottontail and tweeting like Tweety Bird. Anyway, I was laughing so hard. Caused my radiation techs to fuss about me moving out of position. So anyway, so we're going to actually try to get the FDA to issue a warning on the podcast to not be used during treatments or while operating heavy machinery. Anyway, good luck. Thank you guys for all the hard work, and enjoyed the podcast today. It was a very funny one.
Oh, man, Chris. Talk about a bad reputation to have. Producing a show that causes people to have their cancer treatment go awry.
I tell you what, they say laughter is the best medicine, man, and I hope that we're doing our part for John to get better, and our wishes are always with him, and that he gets better, and I'm so glad he listens to the show and gets a kick out of it. That was great.
Yeah, and I tell you, he's a real idol, I think, for folks that are going through this. I mean, he's just been such a positive guy through this whole thing, and.
Absolutely.
We hopefully everything goes well, and we'll keep them laughing. How's that?
Absolutely.
Damn the treatment. All right, John, we appreciate everything you've done for us, and of course, by calling the hotline, it doesn't matter what you've done for us. That's all you get is what we have on the swag shelf, and it's going to be a deck of J-Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com, the official playing cards of Anti-Up Magazine.
Very good. Hey, you know, I want to start the mailbag off by letting Everett Clark of Kingsport, Tennessee know we're coming to your area, buddy.
That's right.
Our magazine is coming there. We're going to be throughout the United States southern region, and Tennessee is one of the states. So be prepared because we're invading, and the Anti-Up Nation is growing.
All right, so Everett wrote into us, and he says, wondering if you guys ever did a show on the electronic tables they sometimes use in casinos. My local casino uses them. There are no other options for 300 miles.
Jeez.
And trust us, we know that as we're working on our expansion. Thanks, Eric.
Yes, yes.
I know you guys have played on them and hated them. I agree that they suck, he says, but it's my only option for now.
Well, I think he summed it up for us. He said that he knows that we've played on them. He knows we hate them. So there's my there's my reaction to his mailbag. That's true.
I think he's looking for some strategy tips here, though, Chris.
Okay, look at the other person's screen. That's the
I've actually got one. I thought about this. I'm like, there's got to be something we can tell Everett, right? Poor
yeah.
guy. He's got no other poker within 300 miles.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So here's what I would throw out. I mean, one, obviously kind of the quote-unquote lure of these tables is that you can get the live poker experience without, you know, a dealer and all that. So, you know, use those little nonverbal Joe Navarro kind of stuff a little bit. You just got to be sure that you kind of have like a little, yeah, like, you know, one of those mirrors that you that soldiers put out when they look around the walls to be
yeah.
sure that nobody's coming. You just got to do that so you can see people's eyes because they're always looking down.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, the other thing too about these, Chris, is that it does help with your math calculations because the computer does some of that for you. I mean, at least the ones I've been playing on, they give you an option of making a pot-sized bet. And I believe it tells you what that pot is there, too. So, I mean, you've got some information that when you're playing in a real live casino that you have to figure out on your own. So kind of use that to your advantage. And also know that some other players might be using that to our advantage, too. So,
yeah, you know, the other thing is my tip is it may feel a lot like it's the internet. So don't go playing in your underwear because you probably will be taken out of the casino by security. But really, I you know, it's really not any – it can't be much different than the internet because it's got to be a random card generator. So that I just – you know, if you're going to have to travel to this place or be unhappy with it, you might as well just play online and use one of our many codes that are available on antiupmagazine.com. But no, really, I just – when we played it, it just felt so much like the internet and you weren't talking to anybody because you're looking down.
Yeah,
there was no
yeah.
dealer to talk to. There's no money. There's no handling the chips. You know, except you got your little plastic card that you tap the screen with because inevitably your hands don't work good enough on the screen. And it just really was frustrating to me. And if it's exactly like the internet, then why even travel there and play? Wait till you get the live thing and you can actually deal with, you know, the tells and the motions and all that kind of thing. But right now, I just play on the internet.
All right, everyone. Well, maybe this will help a little bit for that 300-mile drive. We will send you a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com. We appreciate you sending in your mailbag to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. And everybody else out there, you have the same option.
Well, we have to complete a mystery today, Scott.
Yes, and I like this. It's Omaha. Omaha 8, even.
Yeah, it's the nice 8-game mix. And I have some questions about it, but let's listen to part one again and then see what happens.
Greetings, this is Columbo from pokerwannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 minute mystery. The case of the ice cold tail. It's the 8-game mix on PokerStars, and we are in the Omaha high-low limit level, and we are playing six-handed. Under the gun raises, fold, call, fold, small blind folds, and I am in the big blind with ace of diamonds, ace of hearts, queen of hearts, three of diamonds. And I am about to make not one, but two huge misclicks. First, I accidentally called here, so we are going to see an unraised pot. The flop is 10 of diamonds, 5 of clubs, 7 of hearts, and I compound my mistake by accidentally clicking the check box instead of the bet box. The under the gun proceeds with his C bet. The mid position player just calls, and it comes around back to me.
I don't see why there's any cause for anger here, sir. I'm just asking a question.
So what do you think? In Omaha, your decisions are made pretty much on the flop. Have I already blown the hand? Should I bet, or is that an alternate line that I can take now?
All right, well, you go first, and then we'll talk about the strategy, I guess.
All right, well, here's the thing. This is definitely a hot mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have no idea what a hot mess is, but, like, 8 of my friends have used that phrase in the last month, so apparently it's a well-known saying. A hot mess.
A hot mess.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of hot mess, I think of, you know, washing the dogs in the neighborhood, walk away from my mailbox. but here's the thing. It is a hot mess, but I don't think we've blown the hand completely. You know, we still have top pair. We have the second nut low draw. We got two backdoor nut flush draws and a backdoor wheel draw. So the hand still has a lot of potential, but it's going to have to go runner, runner for a scoop, all right? So it's not great, but it's not also Titanic yet. So because of that, I'm not going to raise here because we're out of position. The turn card, nothing's going to come that's going to make us feel good. You know, we're really going to have to go runner-runner, like I said. So raising is just throwing money away, I think, at this point. But I'll check call here and hopefully check call down the end. And, you know, if I hit that gin card on the river, then maybe I'll try to squeeze one extra bet out of it. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, all right, my initial thought is I thought for a minute there you were going to turn into Robert Plant and say, you want to be your backdoor man? Because that's you just kept saying backdoor for like 20 minutes. I didn't know what you were saying. My eyes are starting to glaze over. And the other thing I think the gin card on the turn that we would be happy about would be a two of hearts or a two of diamonds. Because that would give us the nut low and the nut flush draw twice. So
yeah, but still we'd only have the low there.
No, I know, but then we have more draws and everything. So I'd be happy about that. Yeah. But I'm not raising either. I agree with you. I just think this is another argument for live play, because how do you accidentally check things twice? Accidentally twice? I mean, now we're really screwing his hand up. I don't know how that happens. But,
you know, maybe he's watching Family Guy and laughing and stuff, and, you know, it can happen.
You're right, though. I wouldn't raise either, because then even we have people behind us, I think, still. So we'd risk calling more bets with not even a real hand yet. So I totally agree with you.
Absolutely.
The forum, Own the Dream, says, raise to find out where you are. And Zorag says, call, but he doesn't like the situation we're in now, and neither do I. I think it's a check call thing and see how it goes. So let's listen to part two.
Arg. Welcome back. What a train wreck, huh? Premium hand gets no raise in preflop and then accidentally checks a flop. Still, we are six-handed, but I hate this hand now.
Sir, could I have a moment of your time? There are some things I'm trying to clear up here.
I already blew any chance of driving out the garbage hands, and I fear making second best hand both ways. I don't know if somebody has ace two, and I have no calling range on the other guy. If we weren't six-handed, I would just fold, expecting to see somebody to have an ace two. But because we are six-handed, I've decided I'm just going to check call this down and see what I missed out on.
That would be great, Leopard. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That's quite a relief.
The turn is a six of diamonds, the under-the-gun bets, and we both call. And the river's the ace of clubs, the under-the-gun bets, and we both call. You may ask why I checked the river with a set of aces. Because the ace cheated my low, and now I have a set for high, which is probably against a straight draw that got there. As if on cue, my cheated low draw loses to a 7-2, which means he had been raising with 7 of spades, 2 of clubs, jack of diamonds, 10 of clubs. And as suspected, my middle position player, who was calling all the way down, had made a straight on the turn, hitting the high jackpot with king of spades, 8 of hearts, 8 of clubs, 9 of clubs. Until next time, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, reminding you that sometimes it's better to just throw away a hand where you got off to a bad start.
And that's not all. Buy today and we'll set you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
It's one of my favorite shows of the year.
It's always fun.
Our annual end-of-the-year awards show that we call the Conkies.
Now, do you think we need to explain, since we have a whole new crop of listeners from the magazine, what Conkies really are?
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those morphed in from other phrases and stuff, you know, because, you know, we have the Ape series.
Right.
And we give out the bananas and everything. And so I think that's where the keys part and, you know, donkeys, and but we're making it conkeys. And
yeah, see, now I know what you're going to say in a minute, too, so I'm going to wait till you say it, and then I'll explain why I was that way, but you go ahead and make fun of me. Go ahead.
That's wow, if you're going to give me the preview there, then maybe I'll say something completely different and throw you off. How's that?
Hey, I'm like a chameleon. I can adjust to anything.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here's the funny thing, because we were on the ship inspection yesterday, and we were talking, and you said, quote, "I realized I was being too negative when creating my Conky Awards." I am still laughing over that comment. Because it only took, what, 38, 39 years? Chris woke up one morning, finally, and goes, "Hey, you know what? I'm a negative guy."
Okay, now, in my defense, these are called the Conkies, as if they were starting out the donkeys, like donkeys, right. Like bad things happen, and then we just adjusted it to our show, like King Kong for the Bananas and the Apes, and so... Conkeys like donkeys, so I was thinking that they're always supposed to be negative, and then at the end I'm like, my God, I'm just full of piss and vinegar in this one. I need to change this somehow. So somewhere along the line I will have a positive conky in this list today.
Wow. So it's kind of like where in the world is Carmen Sandiego or something here? Or Waldo.
Where's Waldo? I know where Waldo is. It's the place where Scott refuses to drive quickly. Our Florida listeners would appreciate that one. All right, well, I'll kick things off if you want.
Please, kick us off here.
My first one, and it is negative, is the "I found where the idiots who proposed New Coke are these days, Conky." And it goes to the folks at GSN for trying to fix what isn't broken by firing AJ Benza on High Stakes Poker.
How did I know AJ was going to make it on our list this year?
He pays me a lot of money to be his PR guy, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm going to trust you on that because, you know, like you said, I'm a non-TV poker player right now.
Yeah.
But obviously, from, you know, the times we've had AJ on the show, he's a hoot and a half. So I can only imagine that he's a hoot and three quarters at least on High Stakes Poker. So it certainly is a loss, I would think.
Oh, my God.
All right, my turn. The... "Are you serious? You actually made us root for Andy Duke, Conky?" And that goes to Joan Rivers for her despicable comments about poker players in this year's Celebrity Apprentice that led all of us who have always kind of crinkled our nose at Andy Duke to want her to win. And then I'm going to give an honorable mention here to Maria Ho and Tiffany Michelle, who quit on the Amazing Race this year. No way Andy is quitting anything.
No, there's no way.
Anything. Can you imagine her quitting anything?
That's because Annie's old school, too, you know? I mean, Maria Ho and Tiffany Michelle are, like, brand new to the poker world, and they don't appreciate the, you know, the roads that have been laid by Annie Duke. And
That's right.
Did I say roads or roadies? I don't know what I said.
See all the praise we're giving to Andy Duke here? This is what happens.
Yeah, this is what happens, man. I'm getting nauseous. I'm going to move on to the next one. It's the 2+2 does not equal 4 Conky. And I know everyone thought I was going with that. They thought I was going with a 2+2 forum, but I'm not. Or yeah, I've dubbed it the WSOPPOYWTF Conky. And it goes to whoever was responsible for the World Series of Poker Player of the Year point system. If Phil Ivey would have won the main event, plus two bracelets wouldn't have been enough to beat Jeffrey Lissandro's regular old three-old stud bracelets? Come on!
Well, you know, here's the thing. I didn't dig deep into the points accumulation strategy here, but maybe there's something that we didn't quite understand there. But you're right. On the face, that looks very, very conky-ish.
Yes. No matter what the explanation is, it's conky-ish.
Look at that new word we created.
Yes.
After a word that we already created.
A word on a word? That's... Man, that's
man,
awesome.
Nobody in that nation is playing Scrabble with us.
No way.
All right, the worst use of 117 days, Conky. goes to all the players who got shut out of the World Series of Poker main event on the final day because the event reached capacity, and for whatever stupid reason, they did not sign up in the previous 116 days that they could have.
So how do we get from 116 to 1117 days?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, mistypes there on the how's that? Updated in real time for you.
All right, well, my goes to the Hall of Shame Conky. Goes to the organizers and voters of the Poker Hall of Fame who, one, allowed the public to nominate Durr, and two, didn't know the criteria for getting someone elected, thus costing Tom McAvoy a spot in the hall this year because they need to have at least 75% of the vote, and they didn't even know that when they were voting. How could you not know the rules of the vote and vote?
Well, ask all the Florida voters in West Palm Beach County. About 9 years ago.
Yes.
The fact that you are permitted to vote does not mean that you have any kind of intelligence whatsoever.
That is true. That is true. Plus, hanging with Chad is my favorite saying now. So,
but here's the thing, dude. I don't really necessarily mind that they allow the public to nominate Durr. I just think it was crazy that they actually had to go out of their way to mention why he couldn't make it on the list.
I know.
Crazy.
I know.
Absolutely crazy. All right, my next one, Defender of the American Ideals, Conky. Do you have a little National Anthem or American Beautiful music?
I can probably play that in the background. Let me see what
okay.
I got.
All right, cool. It's going to go to the U.S. Rep. Barney Frank and all the other lawmakers from sea to shining sea who boldly said, quote, hey, let's put an end to this crazy anti-poker charade. And they're doing stuff. Whether at the federal level, the state level, the local level, at the Elks Lodge, wherever it is, to allow people to play poker because it's just crazy that we can.
Is that another tipping your hat to the Trekkies there with the boldly says?
Yes.
Boldly goes where no politician has ever gone before.
I like to thread some thematics through our show. How's that? You know, Chris, I'm going to mention this too because I did a radio interview about last month and the folks that did the it was their show, and they're gay, and they asked me what I thought about the fact that there were players that were making fun of Barney Frank, who obviously is also gay. And I gotta say, I totally agree with them. This is just down and out nasty. I don't care what you feel about sexual orientation. If you're a poker player, you have to respect Barney Frank.
Oh, absolutely.
There's just absolutely no lawmaker out there anywhere that's doing more to let us play our game than Barney Frank. If you're going to be one of these guys that sits back there and mimics his speech or something like that, forget it.
Yeah.
You don't deserve whatever Barney Frank is going to end up giving you. Just wrong.
Okay, well, it's hard for me to follow that up, but I will
sorry.
With my final
rant
one.
Over.
And since it's a positive one, maybe
okay.
It's my Sally Field, you like us, you really like us, Conky. Goes to all of our poker room managers in Florida, and of course all of our listeners, for allowing us to deliver our Annie Up message to you this year. It's really been a really big year for the magazine and for the nation, and we just appreciate everyone's response and support.
Absolutely. It's just been great, and of course all that support is what's helping us take our show on the road to other locales.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see how that all goes out. All right, and the final Conky, it's also a positive one, Chris. Of course, it's from me, so it's all
always positive.
Except for the previous four. The Anzi Up National of the Year, Conky, goes to Chicago Joe.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely in Lower Acker now.
You keep saying Acker. It's Wacker.
Wacker. Lower Wacker. That's because I say it all as one word, I thought. Lower Wacker, I guess, yeah. Sorry.
Well, yeah, we talked this year about coming up with the Annie of Fan of the Year, and it's always tough, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of signal out one, because we have so many of our listeners that not only listen to the show, but email us and call us and give us news tips. And then you got ones that go beyond that actually help with the apes and create websites and do other kind of stuff for us. So it's tough. It's really tough to single out one.
Yeah.
But we just can't say enough about Chicago Joe. We said a lot about him last week, so we're not going to go over it all again today. But this guy really has the Indy Up Nation in his heart, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. And, and just a reminder, too, one of the things that came from that trip up there was an interview with Dennis Phillips that we'll have on the show next week. Yep. So just a reminder to stay tuned for that. And I had a good time doing the Conkeys this year. You know, every year we do them, and I say, Scott, can we just do like three or four? Because I can't come up with any. But once you get one going, they start to roll, and then you come up with enough. And it's always fun to do it. And, you know, and all, it's all in good jest, too. I don't know anybody, any hate mail coming from Andy Duke. You know what I mean?
Hey, this is Hort Corkins, and I'm listening to Annie Up.
All right, well, we don't have Lee Childs this week from Alexandria, Virginia, but we do have a hand from Richard Mullinix at Bowie, Maryland.
Yeah, that's kind of close.
Somewhat close. It's at least in the same
zone, mid-Atlantic kind of
area.
Thing.
Yeah, there we go. How's that?
Yeah, it's a mid-Atlantic hand of the week.
All right, Richard loves our podcast, has been listening since the beginning. He says, we're the Iron Men of Poker Podcast.
Yes, I'm Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, we should have like an Iron Man, like an Iron Chef kind of thing, man. Face off with Seabock and those guys.
Yeah, and the key ingredient today is Joan Rivers. Now, center your show around Joan Rivers. Whoever has the funniest show is the Iron Men of Poker.
Excellent. I like it. I like it. Let's see what we can do with that. All right, we got a live hand this week, Chris.
Good.
Atlantic City, and we always enjoy the live hands from Atlantic City. Crazy players up there.
Yeah, it's definitely the heart of stud poker.
All right, but today's hand is no limit hold'em, though. Sorry.
Damn. All right.
But it's a $1, $2, no limit live game here. He says the average stack at the table is 250 clams.
Okay.
And there are six limpers into this pot, Chris.
Oh, man.
And we look down the small blind to ace.
Wow.
Probably in the top 10% of starting hands.
I think it's even top three, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's moved up. It's been a good year for ace.
I would boldly go there and say that it's the top three, I think.
All right, so you have six limpers, which I think the cocktail waitress has limped into this pot. what are you going to do here, buddy?
I'm making it 25 to go.
25?
Well, you know what? I've played in 1-2 games with stacks that large, and, you know, a raise of, like, $6 is just laughable. And most people raise 10 to 12 without even there being any limpers.
Right.
So I'm going to make it 20 to 20 to 5, 20 to 25 to go. because I just think that, you know, any regular raise of, like, even $10, it's just not going to be enough. So I'm going to make it, like, 20 or 25 to go.
You know, I like that. I might even be crazy and go, like, 30 or 35 here.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and the reason why is, one, you know, obviously we want some action. You don't want a lot of action. That's the problem. That's what's really tough. You got six limpers.
Yeah.
So, ideally, you want to put a bet size in that gets rid of five of them. So, go ahead, heads up, is what I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless if you're happy with the size of the pot right there, just shove. Hey, I'll take $12.
I'll take $12. So you got that. But the other thing, too, is I think this is a play. You know, you talk about the people that do those, you know, the limpers, and then they raise big to collect that money because no one's raised so far.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good time where you can do it with a real hand.
Yeah.
So if you got somebody in there that says, oh, man, BS.
Yeah.
And calls you, boom, booyah.
Yep.
Send your stack over here.
Yep. And there's no way you can put them in any kind of decent hand. So no matter what the flop comes, unless it's like, you know, queen, jack, 10. You know what I mean? There's not that much that's going to fool you here or make you concerned, because what could they possibly have that they didn't raise with all these limpers, except maybe suited connectors or something? So I'd be happy to make it like 30 or 25 or 20 or 30, and then if I get my caller, I know I'm in good shape.
Yeah, I definitely like the over-raise here. And then maybe you have somebody be crazy enough to raise you back, and then boom, you can get this thing over with quickly.
Absolutely.
All right, well, our hero instead raises to $12.
Don't. That is not enough, man.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Richard, buddy. Yeah, six limpers, $12. You're going to get, I'm going to say, six callers.
There's no way $12 is going to scare enough people out of this spot. I mean, I'm not laughing at him. I'm just laughing at your joke. I'm laughing at your joke. It was funny. but really.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, but it's a new year. We're full of love. But, really. I mean, that's just that's what you would normally make it with no limpers, and you're first in the pot, really, in a normal game. So, I have to fault him there and at least double that raise.
All right. Well, I was wrong, Chris. He only got five callers.
Five callers. Oh, man.
Of course, we had a big blind in there, too. So I guess we lost two of the available seven players.
Man.
So there's $60 in the pot, and we're going in the flop with the best starting hand that is quickly shriveled up because we've got five other opponents left.
Yeah.
The flop comes jack, nine, deuce. Two of them are diamonds, Chris, and we have the ace of diamonds.
Okay. Well, you know,
the small blind and first act.
That's not too bad of a flop. I mean, the diamonds are there, so you want to protect your hand, and the straight cards are there. But, you know, I find it hard to believe that someone limped with, like, 10-8 and then called a raise. It could happen. I mean, it does happen. It happens every day, of course. But
then, straight's not there yet.
Yeah,
so.
It's not there. Nothing's gotten there yet. So you can feel comfortable betting the pot here, I think, and seeing what happens. So, I mean, that's probably what I would do is bet the pot.
I think you have to bet the pot here, don't you?
Yeah, at least the pot. I mean, that's what I'm saying, about $60 or so.
I mean, you made the mistake with the little 6X quote-unquote min raise pre-flop, and now you got to thin the field, get the thing over with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the only thing that's beating you right now is a flop set, which is entirely possible, I know.
Yeah.
But you can't be scared of it. And if you're going to play this hand, you got to play it bold, big or go home, is what I'm saying.
It's really difficult to put anybody on a flop set here. The only set that I can think of would be deuces, really, because if somebody had jacks, they probably would have raised. And if somebody had nines, they probably would have raised.
Probably.
Or
yeah.
Re-raised or something. So the only hand I'm afraid of right now is pocket deuces, and even that I'm not really afraid of. So I'd bet the pot, $60.
All right, well, Hero bets $40, so about two-thirds of the pot.
Yeah, I guess. You got to thin this field, though. You know, anybody with a draw now will probably call you.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. All right, well, he gets one player the call from under the gun, who says he's one of the best players at the table and is tricky. The rest follows. So look at that, Chris. His $40 bet actually did what we wanted it to.
Cool. All right, well, if he's tricky, you got to start thinking about the hands, but probably not until the next action. But
and he
really
is also under the gun and limp preflop, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't put him on. You know, I mean, I can't put him on anything really, really powerful here, except maybe a draw. So, but if he's tricky, who knows? But I'm thinking of a draw right now. That's what it feels like.
And I should have also mentioned too that our hero has a tight image. He says, now with this, when the player calls, he's wondering now. He says he thinks his opponent could be drawing, floating, a pair of jacks, or a monster is what he puts him on. And he thinks more likely drawing or floating because he most likely would have raised with a jack or better.
Yeah, I have to think that it's not a float because he had people behind him still to act.
That's
since
true.
He was under the gun. I don't think you float with four people behind you who could re-raise you. I think it feels a lot like a draw now with people behind him. If he was in position from everyone, like on the button, that'd be one thing. But if you're under the gun and you're second to act, and you don't float with people behind you. So I don't feel like that's a play that he's making there, no matter how tricky he is. So it feels like a draw or maybe an ace-jack, and he's all just right. Worried because you're tight, so he's worried that you might have an overpair to these jacks.
And probably most likely a diamond draw, I would think. I mean, 10-8, if he's a tricky player, you're probably going to play 10-8 under the gun.
Yeah. Yeah, or, jack-9, so you could have queen-10 too, I guess.
Queen-10, that's true. That's so true.
But it does. It feels like some sort of flush or straight draw that he's hoping that no one else raises, and he can get in there for and try to bust somebody who's tight. You know, so this guy's, our hero here, is really tight, apparently, so that's what they usually play against tight players, is draws that'll get someone's whole stack. So it feels like a draw or something. So let's move on.
All right, here we go. The turn is the three of clubs, so it gives us a board of jack, nine, deuce, tray, and, again, still two diamonds out there.
That's a real good card for us. I can't complain. I mean, there's no hand that completes, and there's no way he has pocket threes here. So that's a real good card for us. I would let's see. There's about 140. So I have no problem just really just betting the pot again here, or at least
let's end this. If we put him on a draw, we gotta bet enough to make the draw unprofitable now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even mind shoving here, except that if you only get called by a better hand there, I think, with one card to come. But I'm definitely betting like pot here. I can't bet anything less than, like, or at least 100 or 120 then. But I like pot size bet here.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't know what, he said the average stack size was at the table, but he didn't give us stack size on this, too. So I guess that could play into it, too. But, yeah, I want to end this, so I'm going to bet pot, too. But our hero says he wants to try to control the pot size and not lose a bunch with ace-ace. Be honest, I think it's a little too late for that.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, Scott, is if we started with, like, 250, and we've already bet 52, we're down to 200. If we bet 140, we only have 60 left, so really...
Yeah,
we're probably
point.
Just shoving anyway shoving, if we really put him on a draw.
Right. All right, now he says he likes to try to control the pot size with ace-ace when facing good players while pushing hard with ace-ace when facing bad players. That I can't dispute.
Right.
But I think we're a little too late in this hand for that. But he says he also likes to induce river bluffs when they miss their draws by checking ace-ace in tough spots. So he checks here, Chris.
Yeah, but this... All right, so he's checking to say that he's weak, and then when the river gets there, they'll bet out when he checks again. He's out of position, though. You're checking twice and giving him two free cards to make his draw. I don't agree with it. Not, I guess not two, but one.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
but yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't know. Whatever. I don't agree with the check there at all.
Well, now our hero has not decided that our villain is on a draw like we have, but if I've decided he's on a draw. You know, you don't want to give him the free card. It's the last thing you want to do, right?
No, exactly. And he
there's no draws out there. Then maybe you can make this play and then hope they bluff on the river and then and make it. But you know, if he's on a draw,
Right. I mean, you and I are pushing the draw really hard here. But he did mention that as a possibility in his head. So really, I mean, you want to end this hand now. You don't want to give this guy. You don't even know what draw he's on. If a diamond comes, do you now give up the pot because you think it's diamonds when it's a straight?
Right.
So just end it. End the hand.
All right, well, we check, and the villain bets out $21.
No,
that is not a misprint. That is not a misprint, $21.
I was speaking to you, Scott. End the hand now. I'm tired of it already. wow, $21. That's a funny bet. $140. God, now we checked, and he likes to get these guys to bluff, so there's a bluff. Raise them. Get them out, man. Force them out. I'd shove.
Yeah, well, you know, we would have showed before, so.
Yeah.
All right, our hero calls, hoping he's just on the draw. Pot is now $180, and we go to the river, which is a jack. So now our board is jack, nine, deuce, tray, jack.
That sucks. You know, if we're still thinking he's on a draw, then a jack didn't help him. You have to be solid with your convictions, you know. If you think it's a draw, then the jack didn't help him, and... You need to do whatever, you know, whatever. If you want to check, call, I would do it if you want to bet out. But really, at the turn, if you thought you were good, you're still good. So
right.
No matter what happens here, if he's on a draw, you check. If he was on a draw, you check because you want him to bluff. So if he's got ace-jack, then you hope he makes it small enough as a value bet that you can call to see, you know, what he had and that, you know, it's too much money to give up. So... I would check here now because, you know, he's probably going to try to represent the jack, but if he doesn't do it strong enough, then I'm going to call no matter what it is.
Yeah, I like that. All right, so our hero does check, hoping that the opponent gives up. The opponent does not give up. He bets $50. I think that's a safe bet for us to call here to find out whether our aces are good.
Yeah, I can't fold jack for that. There's no way. $50, I'm calling. But, you know, it goes to show, though, that you really should have bet the turn better. You know, and more, or raised him once you check to him with check raise, because, you know, now you're just hoping, you know, that you're good here rather than knowing you were good earlier and getting this guy to put all his money on a draw. So, I'm gonna call and say he missed something there, like he had a diamond draw and missed it or something.
All right. Well, our hero does call, and the opponent flips over queen 10.
Yes.
Missed his draw. And tried to get us the fold for the paltry bet of $50 into a $180 bet.
Yeah, it felt like a draw the whole way, except for the weird bets at the end there. The 21 and $50 was like a, I don't know what those bets were, but they were.
Well, I guess the 21 might be trying to make you think that he's got a monster and is trying to feel, reel you in. But I think, you know, if you play the hand back, you can't really represent that there at that point.
There's no
I don't
way.
Think.
And $21 into a $140 pot. I mean. Even if you have a monster, you know, $21 is not getting you a lot of money anyway. Wow. Yeah, no, that it felt like a draw, and it was a draw, so that's good. At least he, you know, he won the hand, and it was a draw. But, again, we should have just... Although we got more money out of him by playing it the way he did, because I think if we shoved, he might not have called.
Well, he shouldn't have called, but yeah, I don't know whether he would have or not. And I also think the opponent's $50 bet on the end, you know, for the misdraw. I mean, I know you don't want to overbet to make it look like you missed the draw.
But $50.
And you don't want to underbet it, but, you know, $50 is, that's an underbet there. For the, I mean, I think you could have safely bet maybe 90 or almost 100 there.
Yeah.
And maybe got the aces to fold, right?
Yeah, $100 there is more believable. Of course, it's the same thing we said before. If this guy bets $100 and he only has 100
that's true.
Whatever
that's
behind
true.
Him, right. Then it would. But that might work too, though. They might look at the $100 bet and say, "Well, if he had him, you know, why isn't he betting his whole stack?" So then it looks more like a more valuable bet there. So maybe $100 is the best bet there for him to try to knock out our hero. But congratulations on winning the hand there, Rich. I couldn't have done what you did there. I would have had to have bet the turn, but nice hand.
But he won the pot, and he also won, Chris, a $10 staking package from getastake.com. And everybody else, send your hand of the week to podcast@neupmagazine.com, and you too could be on the long line of swag shelf recipients.
Well, Scott, have a safe trip to Vegas. There's nothing quite like celebrating the new year in Vegas.
That is very true. That is very true. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to freezing. I got my earmuffs packed. Could not find them this morning. I accused my wife of throwing them out. She got mad at me and found them. So I will give them one more whirl here and before I actually buy some age-appropriate earwear. How's that?
Yeah, that would be nothing for the ears at all in your case. All right, just one more reminder that Dennis Phillips will be on the show next week. Stay tuned for that. I'm Chris Crescenza.
I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the table.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.